time is 8:07. Pretty good start here in central Wisconsin. Lots of sunshine, temperature, and even freezing 32 degrees at our studios on the corner of East. I got a flashback there.
Whoa.
The corner of Washington Street and North 3rd Street in downtown Wausau. I am Chad Holmes. It is the Chad Holmes Show on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230, online at bowfallsradio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media app. Also, you can join us by going to our Facebook page or our X page, facebook.com and x.com. Go to the Bow Falls Radio page, and you're able to see us. We have a video stream, and you can join us there, and you can also make comments that we... Bob is...
Well,
I know, that's very, very, very...
So professional,
I know. But that's what Ian does every morning. So,
is that right?
Yep, he always waves at the camera to say hello to everybody. But you heard the voice of Bob. Look, before we talk to Bob, have to say good morning because he controls the microphones. Mm-hmm. I have to make sure that, you know, we keep Ian Welsh happy, mm-hmm. or else he'll just turn off the microphones and he'll just talk himself for the next 2 hours. But Ian Welsh, good morning.
Good morning, Chad. Good morning, Bob.
Hey, why don't you wave to everybody? There you go.
Well, let me turn my camera on first.
Oh, turn it on.
There we go. Oh, now you can see me.
All right.
Are we even streaming?
I turned the stream on.
I don't see it on. Did you turn on the right one?
Oh, no. The radio audience is going, who cares?
I know exactly. Who cares? I'm going to reload it. But
well, it says we're live.
Okay, maybe it's just me coming on late. But thank you very much, Ian. Good to see you. We'll talk more a little bit later on.
Happy to be here.
But Bob, look. Oh, yeah. I just figured out. I clicked on last Wednesday's stream.
So, there you go.
So I
looked a whole lot different, didn't I?
First of all, I said we're on East Wausau Avenue. Now I had the 17th of April instead of the 24th of April. Other than that, a fantastic... I'll blame it real quickly on the weather yesterday because you, for many years, during the springtime, would go out there and do high school baseball games. Mm. And yesterday, it was miserable. I mean, first of all, we started the broadcast. It was raining. And all of a sudden, the rain stopped, which was great. It actually calmed down. And then about the third inning, the wind... I mean, it was just amazingly windy, and then it got really cold, and I think it froze my brain.
For all those folks who think, you know, baseball, summertime kind of sport, well, unfortunately for high school sports, you're playing it in what they call spring. But we all know, being Wisconsinites, that spring doesn't mean much more than just a prelude to actual August, which is the only summer month that there is official.
Exactly.
In this
right.
state. You know, you're talking about the temperature and the weather and that. You know, driving in, you know, I go past several businesses have that time and temperature, mm-hmm. you know, deals, you know, in front of their businesses. And the first one I came up on, you know, had the time and it had the temperature, and it said 32.9 degrees. And I felt so much better.
You're really above freezing.
We're 0.9 above freezing. I felt so much better. And then a couple blocks down, I get to the next one. It says, you know, time, and then the temperature, 33 degrees. And I was not nearly that excited. But 32.9 sounded better to me.
It does. It's sort of like the gas prices when they put the 0.9.
Right.
Holy cow, we're getting a huge savings here because of
you
that 0.9.
You can buy this cabinet for $19.95. Yeah. Or, you know, it's like, isn't that $2,000 when you throw a tax in there?
We're going to talk about some serious stuff as we continue. But I got to start with, because earlier in the week, I'm taking a look at Facebook. And there's Bob Look with a comment.
Oh, no.
And I could see the steam coming off the computer because Bob made a post because apparently one of the nights earlier in the week or last week, I can't remember when it was.
Monday night.
You remember it.
Oh, yeah.
But apparently Bob had a hankering for some pizza.
It was one of these things where I looked in the fridge and I'm like, do I really want to work at putting it? Nah. And I saw, you know, a commercial talking about this, you know, deal that Pizza Hut was doing. Again, I hate to, you know, point at the business, but I'm just going to tell you what happened. So I saw the ad. It says, you know, for a large pizza, whatever you want on it, you know, $12, right? Mm-hmm. I figured, oh, I'll have them deliver it. And so I'm looking on the stuff on my phone, and I've harped about it for, I don't know how long I've been complaining about the incredibly slow internet and broadband that's in around, especially by my house. Mm-hmm. Okay. Anyway, so I call the Pizza Hut that could service my particular location. And I talked to a gentleman, and I said, hey, they got that special? Yeah, but you have to order it online. And then I says, you know, I'm just talking to you right now, and you're going to be, you know, reading this offline. Oh, that's the deal. You're supposed to make the order online, and then okay. So now I got my smartphone. Again, I use the word smart only because that's what they call them.
And real quickly, at this point, you're already probably a little annoyed.
Considering I'm talking to a human.
So this is part of the process.
Who's right there at the store, but he's, oh, no, we can't. It's got to be an online entry. Okay. So now comes the detour signs. As I get my phone out and I'm getting onto their deal, and it says there, okay, if you want to make your order, you know, just hit this number, and I hit this number, and then all of a sudden the screen says, cannot read this page. Try again. So I try again. And it goes through all the ask for my address and everything else, and then it says, oh, cannot read this. It's got to try again. After my fifth try again.
You made it to five tries. I would have been out well before that.
Well, because I know how insanely slow the broadband is and everything, I figured a lot of times it takes a few shots at it to mm-hmm. make it happen. Well, so finally I just went, really? I'm sitting here, and it's been like a half hour. I've been going through all this, you know, jumping over this and breaking through this barrier and all that, and get just about to where I'm about to put the order in. Cannot read this page. Try again. And I says, I just talked to a human being who's making the pizzas there at that store. I could have told him all this, had all this information, done. But because it's a special, okay. I know I'm a geezer. I'm not a youngster, but that's the kind of stuff that drives me absolutely batty.
What did you ultimately have for dinner Monday night?
I had a couple of grilled cheese sandwiches.
There you go.
Because I just gave up.
If Bob will be with us for the entirety of the first hour, then in hour number two, we'll be talking to Sean Wright from the Grand Theater, the Performing Arts Foundation, Executive Director. Also, if you want to join us, if you have thoughts on Bob's story and anything else that we talk about during the next hour, we'd love to have you join us as well. If you have any topics you would like us to discuss as well, you can join the program. Either call or text. Again, you can, if you're a little uncomfortable jumping right in, you can text us as well, and we'll pass along any of the thoughts that you have. 715-382-9297. Again, that's 715-382-9297. And if I will continue to remind you of that, but also if you go to our Facebook or X page, we do have a scroll at the bottom of our live stream with that number as well. So again, we'd love to talk about something that maybe caught your attention in the past week news wise or anything else, and join us here on the program. By the way,
and I am in a good mood. I don't want people to think I'm in a
no. And we are, and again, and if you call up, you're our guest.
Yes,
we're gonna put out the welcome mat, and we're gonna be very, very kind to you until you say something. No. We'll
just jump right on.
By the way, why is the broadband not good where you live? Because I was thinking, people like Ron Johnson, and if Eric Hovde ever got in, they would pass tax cuts to give themselves millions of dollars. If you had got elected, you could have fixed broadband for everybody in your neighborhood.
Well, this goes way back, several years when we had, what was the name of the company that? That had our TV and all other stuff, that had the Buffalo insignia on it. I can't remember the deal.
Anyway, if you remember it, let us know. The Buffalo.
Whatever it was. But I had terrible in my house, and I had the specially wired and everything else, and then the company says, hey, we can improve your speed and everything, we'll make it a 5 gigabyte or whatever the heck they call it, just sign up for this now and we'll automatically, yeah, of course, you But of course, if you are trying to make more powerful into something that doesn't work in the first place, it's not going to work anyway. So I got really frustrated, and I Frontier.
Oh, Frontier. Yep.
And so I had one of their honchos or engineers come to my place, sit by with my, you know, at that time, laptop, and I'm, you know, and he's going, "Well, Bob, I'm going to show you why you have problems here." And he showed me this, like, satellite photo and enlarged and showing the, you know, area of good signal, I guess, or and then signal that is marginal, and then the signal that's pretty much dead. And here's my house, about 40 feet to the east, it's, you know, fine. Another 40 feet to the other side is fine, but I'm right in this middle, this dead spot. And I go, "Then why are you guys having me want to upgrade this to a 5 gigabyte when I can't get the door open in the first place?" And the guy goes, he just shrugged his shoulders. And I go, "Well, thanks for your help."
I tell you, in those situations, back when I was in college, I worked, in customer service on a phone line. That's the point you're always thinking, where can we accidentally disconnect this call because there's no answer to it.
Frontier's not in my house anymore. I got a MiFi, and I pay a lot less, and I get just as good a coverage as if I would have had Frontier.
We'll have more with Bob Look. We'll talk about some real news coming up, but we're also going to talk to Brittany Merlot coming up next about the weather. It's a very nice start. What can we expect for the rest of our Wednesday? We'll find out coming up next. The time is 8:18, 32.9 degrees
out
there.
That's correct.
Chad Holmes Show, Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. And, of course, you always like it when we bring on Brittany Merlot, our meteorologist, to talk about the weather. And, Brittany, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing better now than I did yesterday, because we talked yesterday, and you said the afternoon was going to be pretty rough. And I had a ball game, and I'm set up outside over at Wausau West High School. And we would get on the air, it was during the rain. The rain had come through. Then the rain stopped. And all of a sudden, hey, it's not too bad. It was pretty calm. And the temperature was still decent. It cooled down. And then about the third inning, the winds kicked up. And, I mean, it was miserable. Miserable late afternoon, early evening. Those wind chills must have been in the 30s. My stuff was blowing around like you wouldn't believe. But I was prepared because based on the temperature during the day, I would not have had my winter coat, but I talked to you and you said, "Blair up, be ready." And I had my winter coat and I was still miserable. It was such a miserable weather evening yesterday, but looking out today, beautiful start.
Yes, yes, yes. I agree with you 100% on all of that. So I joined you out in the elements. So I decided I don't care if a little bit of rain is coming through. I want to enjoy this day, right? Because I worked all day. So, I went out for a nice mountain bike ride and I got caught in that exact rain. I knew it was going to happen, so I was ready. I had that windbreaker and the layers and everything, but I'll tell you, it was hard to battle the wind on the way back. My legs were getting tired. The wind was blowing in my face. I was freezing. My fingers were freezing. I forgot the gloves.
I noticed that too yesterday. I didn't have gloves either. And for whatever reason, the combination of the rain and the wind and all that, yeah, the digits did not feel good.
No, they were going fast. Oh, but today, you know, we woke up, it was crisp, it was frigid. There was some frost out there for some of us. And also the sun just made me smile. It still is. There's not even a cloud out there.
No. Nothing about it. Again, we talked about it yesterday, but we're going to get a full smorgasbord of weather. We had what we had yesterday. We're going to have a couple of, it looks like, pretty nice days. And then I heard you use the word drencher with Pat Kreitlow earlier today, coming up for the weekend.
Yeah, this timing is terrible. I prefer the drenchers during the week, but, you know, here we go. It's going to be dark and dreary, and we're going to get soaked and hit with some storms, too, as well. So today and tomorrow, go outside, enjoy it. Yes, it's cooler temperatures, but it's spring. It's a beautiful vibe, right? Because by Friday, we are going to get hit with rain. We are going to see some temperatures, though, get shoved nice and warm into the 70s for Saturday, but it's still going to be scattered showers, dreary. That's when we're going to see some more storms potentially firing up into Sunday, and some of those could be severe throughout the state. So Sunday is not looking fun whatsoever. Then the rain lingers into Monday a little bit before that system kicks out of here. It's two of them back to back. So the first one hits Friday and the second one hits Sunday, but it doesn't quit from Friday to Monday. And we're looking at anywhere at the moment from potentially 2 to 3 inches of rainfall total. And it could be higher if you get under some of those storms and they stay parked over the same area, and localized flooding could be a thing. Let's keep that in mind.
Yeesh. All right. Well, all right. Let's get the good details for our short-term forecast. And then whatever you want to add, you can add as well. But give us the good news.
The good news is high pressure means calm winds, sunny skies. It's going to be here. Well, it's already here, and it's staying here through tomorrow, too. So highs today, low 50s, and it's going to feel like the low 50s. No winds to battle. Tonight, we will drop below freezing, though. So another cold one. We crash to the upper 20s. And then for tomorrow, we'll climb to 60 degrees with abundant sunshine, calm winds, just a beautiful day out there. Things start to change overnight Thursday and into Friday. The winds will start to get breezy, and we're going to continue to see those 40-mile-per-hour gusts possible through the weekend, too. And like I said, just all that rain and blah. And what's positives? Greener grass. Well, I guess you're going to have to start cutting it soon. Less fire danger as we move forward after this weekend. So there's positives. More flowers budding, right?
Always give the silver lining. That's what we like. Yes. Brittany Merlot, our meteorologist, have yourself a great Wednesday, and we'll catch you again tomorrow.
Sounds good. Have a good day, everyone.
Bye, Brittany.
Currently in Wausau, here at our studios on the corner of Washington Street and North 3rd Street, 33 degrees under sunny skies. The winds are 7 miles per hour, gusting as high as 13 miles per hour out of the northeast. The dew point is 20, relative humidity of 59%. The barometer way up there at 30.32 inches. The time is 8:26. Chad Holmes along with Bob Luck. Yeah, I mean, again, it's been just odd. I mean, we've such a, if you don't like, what's the old saying? If you don't like the weather, just wait a few minutes.
Yeah, wait about 15 minutes.
And we've had a real up and down. We've had some beautiful weekends. We've had some real, like yesterday, so I think some wind. The wind has been, it's been so consistently windy. I don't know.
The one thing that I have noticed in this, I've been living at my current location since 1998, since May of 1998 is when we closed on the house that I live in. And I've been in that house since that time. So, and the one observation that I make is the winds. To yes. me, they're a lot more prevalent, and they're a lot more sustained winds, very much like what you'd feel down in Texas. You know, and that part of the country. And again, I'm not a meteorologist. I don't claim to be one, but this is just my observation. I don't know if I'm just noticing it more because of, you know, me being a bit older and that, but I've lost another tree two or three weeks ago. And this is like over 20 footer that fell diagonally in my backyard. Mm-hmm. And we had people in there cutting it up just the other day, and just going to hopefully finish it up here the next couple of days. And I'm surrounded by a whole bunch of other big trees. And every time those winds really kick up, I just
grit your teeth.
Oh, if it falls, yeah. miss the house, miss the fences, miss the decks, you know. But we're kind of at its mercy.
coming up, we're going to have an information update. Then we're going to talk about the news of the day. And I want to touch a little bit of what's going on in New York with DJT. But also a story that had came out of Washington yesterday that got me really excited. Because the folks down the road in our business who have, you know, been a powerhouse in our area for a long time, and they use this little piece of contractual language that was really annoying for radio people for many, many years, and got some good news yesterday. And I kind of want to bring that up and maybe get your thoughts on it, because I'm giddy over it.
I wrote a two-word response to the post on Facebook, and it was, about time!
So we're going to talk some real news coming up. We'll talk a little sports later in the program as well. But Bob, look, every other Wednesday comes in, and we batter the topics about, and we again would love to, for you to join us. Again, write down our number, 715-382-9297. That's 715-382-9297. You can call us or you can text us as well, and we'd love to hear from you. Chad Holmes Show, Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. And welcome back, Chad Holmes Show, here on Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230, online at bullfallsradio.com, mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media app. And again, you can join us on the Facebook page and the X page, and you can join us with your thoughts and your comments. Join us at 715-382-9297. That's 715-382-9297. Also, make sure you have that number, because, again, on Friday, we'll give you a pair of opportunities to win an overnight stay at the Chula Vista Resort in the Wisconsin Dells. It was a really good start last Friday. Phones were ringing, so you know how to use the phones. Uh-huh. But we want you to start, and again, I know that over the course of the program, we have not really had the opportunities that like we like to, but now we are all set, ready to roll. So get that number. Join us if we say something that you agree with or disagree with, 715-382-9297. Before we talk Trump trial, yesterday, the ruling that came down about non-competes. And the reason that maybe you and I are probably more excited, but it's beyond radio people. It's a lot of different areas. But the decision came down that these non-competes that companies would, as part of a contract, make employees sign that say, okay, well, once you leave, and it could be you leaving, it could be them asking you to leave, you are not able to work in the same business.
Same market
for, it could be 6 months, it could be a year, whatever part of the contract. And just down the road, Midwest Communications here in town, and again, I don't mean to be mean, but doggone it, for many, many, many years, heard story after story after story that they would be, whether it be a salesperson, whether it be an on-air person, whether it be management people, they, as part of the deal to work at Midwest Communications, you'd have to have a non-compete. And I know that you had an issue with that, but it was just so unfair.
And you would not be hired unless you signed that.
Right.
So here you are, you know, in need of a job, or you're trying to find employment, and it's not just that particular company, but everybody throughout, you know, did the same thing.
Well,
for the
I
most
was
part.
Fortunate for many years working for Sunrise.
Yeah,
never had a non-compete, said so. He said, "No, we don't do that. That's not the way
right.
we're going to do
it." But they're far and few between.
Exactly, and that's people a smaller operation. The big operations, like Midwest, yeah, absolutely.
But a lot of times, people ask me, "Well, gee, yeah, you worked, you know, in Port Washington, you worked in Milwaukee, and then you went to work down in Peoria, Illinois, and then you went worked in Madison, you worked in one, and you worked in Rapid City, South Dakota, and Sioux Falls, South Dakota, or you worked in Iowa for a short." And people go, "Why do you do that?" I said, "Well, because if you wanted to go forward in this business, you couldn't do it within the marketplace that you were already in. Mm-hmm. So your opportunities were usually outside of the market that you're located at." I mean, I had no crazy idea that, gee, I want to go work in Rapid City, South Dakota. I mean, not there's anything wrong with it,
but
or Peoria, Illinois.
Your market was?
I needed to have a place to apply my talents and my work. And obviously, but also put a little bit more, credits to my resume that people go, he's done here. But that you're there for a year or a year and a half, 3 years, and you're already moving here to here to here. The house that I'm living in right now is the longest that I've been in any particular one residence in my life.
And that 1998 denial. The whole rule was so anti-worker.
Yes.
I mean, it was completely anti-worker. It's, again, one of those rules that gets passed because business is able to lobby these politicians and organizations and government entities. And it was completely unfair. And especially, and again, real quickly, for somebody that works in radio in a market like Wausau, Wisconsin, you're not making so much money. You can sit out for a year.
Or six months,
whatever it may be. It was just completely unfair to the workers. And I'm so happy to see that yesterday.
This was kind of drafted down from the big markets, from New York, Los Angeles, Chicago. These were, some of your top people, were worth that, that $1 million or hundreds of thousands of dollars a year contract because of, first of all, you're talking to more people. Advertisers want to put their message on stations where it's heard by more people. The bigger the audience, the more they can charge for those ads, the more they can pay their people. So if you have somebody who has a great reputation, I always look back at the Chicago disc jockeys like Larry Lujack and people like that, Wally Phillips at WGN for eons and eons and eons. They were there. They've developed such a following that it was like, if they're not there, it'd be like Bob Uecker suddenly just deciding, hey, you know what? It's been fun, but I'm going to go work for the Cubs. People would probably go crazy, and plus the station and the network would go crazy, but that's part of the gig. And so that was a protection for these people who signed these multi-year things, that if people suddenly dumped out of those, that this was kind of like a, for 6 months, protected them in their own marketplace. That's fine in those big markets, but we're in things like Wausau, and Merrill,
but also, if they let
Eau
Claire. You go, you still have to. Can say, we don't want you working here anymore, but you can't work for the guy across the street.
Whether you're fired or you quit, it was handled the same way.
But I just was very happy to see that. It's good for workers generally, not just radio workers, but workers generally, that this rule was tossed aside. And you can't do that, at least, we can get all the details, but
Like we have trade secrets from one radio station to another. Come on.
Exactly.
Radio is basically the industry of everyone copying one another.
And again, about fairness. And I think that it's easy to jump on this Trump thing and talk about, I think, silliness. But I think, again, something I've talked about for a number of months and since the show began, when it comes to the judicial system, it's fairness. And again, you have Lady Justice blindfolded. And we're not seeing it right now with Donald J. Trump, are we?
I've come up with a solution for the gag problem.
And that is the issue I was going to bring up, exactly, the gag order. Again, for folks maybe not watching as closely as we are, there is a gag order right now on Trump. He can't go out there and slam anybody and everybody involved in this trial.
But
he is.
But the fine or the punishment is $1,000 per
offense?
Per offense. And they've listed like 10 or 13 of them, okay? Now, again, $1,000 per offense times 10. Okay, now we're at $10,000. To you and me, that's like, oh, my gosh. To somebody who is a, quote, millionaire or deals with money or can figure out ways to find money, that's not even anything to blink at.
It's a nickel on the ground.
So I came up with an idea. They always like talking about, how the law, the letter of the law, instead of just taking each individual gag order violation, take that whole sentence and count every letter in that gag order and every punctuation, whether it be a comma, a period, exclamation point, or quotation marks, whatever. And say, for example, you suddenly, instead of going by per gag order, how about every letter in the gag order? So they average out to be 30 letters or symbols, signals. Okay, so that's 30 times 1,000. Well, that's 30,000 per gag order. 10 gag orders, now it's 300,000. Now we're talking about something that may catch the eye
even,
of somebody
yeah,
with an unending, quote-unquote, fund of money. Just yeah. They always say letter of the law. Yeah. There's your letter.
I want him thrown in jail for a night just to say, okay, Don, you're gonna keep running your mouth. It's time for you to, you know, because anybody else that would be doing this, it is crazy that the guy who constantly talks about the unfairness of it all, everybody else is bending over backwards to not get on his bad side in some way. Because frankly, he should be spending a night in jail to think about what he's doing.
Well, whether, you know, they deem that fine, but I'm sure that that's a concern of that judge. But some reporting that was happening this morning from various different sources, I believe Washington Post was one of them. I may be wrong because I, you know, saw these things at 4:30 in the morning when I have, you know, my morning man radio brain wakes up and I just have to start reading things. And I, you know, I was reading a couple of sources that were talking about the Secret Service, federal authorities, state authorities, and county authorities, and plus the city law enforcement community discussing the possibility that if the judge makes the decision, they'll have the ex-president spend a little time behind bars. Where they can do this, whether it would be done, and what will the Secret Service people, they're going to have somebody who's going to be with him. And, of course, firearms and that are not supposed to be allowed in there. So is the Secret Service going to be able to continue that? These have been discussions that have been going out of the focus of people knowing that they've been going on. And I believe that they're discussing the possibilities of how they're going to handle something like
that. My cynical mind is saying, well, you know, I think that the Jeffrey Epstein cell would be a good place to put him.
Well,
because when he left this earthly space, he took a lot of information with him.
How convenient.
I know. So maybe, you know, maybe the Donald Trump could be in the Jeffrey Epstein suite of the prison.
But I'm sure that's something that they don't want to have anything to do with that way.
By the way, just sort of a tangent here in the last couple of minutes of this segment. Last night, the number of Republicans who didn't vote for Trump in Pennsylvania, that was interesting. Oh, yeah. I mean, again, I think that... Again, what we hear about, because we often hear, oh, go to the diner to talk to those Trump supporters. There is still, I mean, I found that very encouraging that there are people who are voting in the Republican primaries that are standing up. And yes, there's way too many people that are still blinded to the Trump phenomenon, but there was a lot of votes for a person that has been out of the race for months and saying, and a lot of Republicans saying, I'm not going to vote for Donald Trump. And I think that's being underreported in a lot of ways. Right. I mean, it's always mentioned, but we still hear more about the sometimes the fissures with the uncommitted votes against Biden, even like here in Wisconsin, which is minuscule compared to the votes that are going against Donald Trump on the Republican side.
Well, as I've said with you many times before, all this leading up to the primary in August in Wisconsin, and then you get into the general election in November. We got plenty of time, plenty of things can show up or be. Plus, also both the major parties have to have their conventions coming up. So
I'm still annoyed at the Democrats for letting the Republicans sneak in, because in 2020, during that convention, they should have announced, since we couldn't have it in Milwaukee this time, we were going to have it in Milwaukee next time. Democrats dropped the ball on that.
Well,
in my opinion.
Whoever's making the decisions, probably, you know, whoever got the money quicker under the table. Who knows?
Oh, that's not about that. No, no, that's not. No, this decision was not some sort of under the table thing. No, it was not. These cities, Milwaukee wanted it, and the Republicans came in and said, we're going to hold your convention here. Good for them. Mm-hmm. I give the Republicans credit. When the Democrats dropped the ball, they got in there quickly. Mm-hmm. Why would the Democrats not want to be in one of the five states that are vital to win this election? I just thought it was a complete unforced error by the Democratic Party there.
Well, I don't know if it's the party made those final decisions. And believe you me, in my particular, between my ears, as far as priority, out of 1,000 things in my life, that's ranked about 93 million.
Well, I'm not asking you to come here to talk about priorities in your life, Bob. This is more of a radio program the Bob Look priorities of your life. Because I can come back and say, okay, Bob, what are the three priorities of your life? And we'll talk about that. No.
Breathing, having air, and having decent water to drink.
Well, the name of the show is the Chad Holmes Show. So I'm going to talk about the fact that I think the Democratic Party dropped the ball in not having in Milwaukee. I think it was just a complete unforced error, because I do think for the state of Wisconsin, it's certainly nice to have the Democrats back in. And I'm actually thrilled the Republicans did, because, I mean, they're going to spend their money. It's good for the state of Wisconsin and that evil Milwaukee that the Republicans always talk about.
Oh, yeah.
Which is ironic in itself. They're going to come there, but that's a whole different point. Hey, we got a hard break here. Be back in just a minute here on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230.
Hello, Wausau. I'm Ryan.
I'm Paul.
And we're from the Wausau Business Show, which airs this Saturday again. They're letting us back on the air.
I can't believe it.
We'll see you Saturday morning, 8 to 9, on Bull Falls Radio, where we'll talk to the president of Wausau Tile, Jim Waldron, will join us. And Red Lobster news, Paul. What are we doing?
We're going to be taking a lobster bus to the nearest Red Lobster. 60 of us.
More information on wausaubusiness.com if you want to register for that bus tour, the lobster bus. Come join us. We're going to Red Lobster.
And welcome back, Chad Holmes Show, Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230, bowfallsradio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media app. And again, also, you can join us on Facebook and X on the Bow Falls Radio page as well. Hey, if you are following Bob on Facebook, or friends with Bob on Facebook, whatever the terminology is, you see that he has his Brew Crew review. And
I try to do it every Monday at least. During the season.
Well, Monday was a good day to do it this week because they were coming off a sweep of the Cardinals in St. Louis.
Oh, nothing makes me... You're talking about things that make me happy. Anytime the Brewers can beat the Cardinals. Ever since 1982!
Self-proclaimed best fans in baseball, TM.
Yeah, well...
Play the Cardinal way, TM, you know.
Well, I'm not going to say all the fans of St. Louis.
But
there
so
are some that I've been at AmFam Field for Cardinal games, and... And again, when the Cardinals were really good and the Brewers were not, and it was like, oh, well, you know, we're the Cardinals, we're this, and nothing better than that game 163, like in Chicago, and the other time when the Brewers clinched at St. Louis. Oh, those are moments I really cherish.
Yesterday was the anniversary of the first Hank Aaron home run against the Cardinals.
Yes.
54.
Yeah.
And, of course, he hit the big home run to clinch the pennant in 57.
Yep.
So there have – but then 82 is –
I was there for all the games in Milwaukee at County Stadium and covered that series. And
What have you been writing about? Because, I mean, even with the last 2 days where they lost to the Pirates, it's still been a fantastic start for the crew.
Very good start. And, again, in 162 games, you're going to have times where the offense isn't going to be clicking on all cylinders. You're going to have some injury problems. And, again, a couple of them, especially a big one that gets some attention but not as much as Christian Yelich with the back issues that he had battled the last couple of years. And I think the team is being very cautious to try to make sure that it's not going to be something that's going to be an all-year deal. Play for a week and then sit down for another week or two. So that's why I think they're being a little extra cautious. Let them make sure that everything feels right. And if there is a twinge, don't sit there and rough it out, or, you know, like be the hero type of syndrome.
Getting a little nervous about Miley now with the elbow thing. I mean, just it doesn't feel too good right now. He's had some issues, and it just feels like, oh, because he was so solid last year, and it felt like, boy, if he could just give us again that kind of season, that would go a long way. And it's starting pitching was always a bountiful harvest for the crew. Now it's again, and I just mentioned off the air that
there are some players that are out there that are in their last year of a contract, and they're playing for a better contract. They're sitting on teams that teams would like to maybe dump, and part of that, you know, what they're paying like $12 million a year and stuff like that. So don't be surprised if the Brewers hop in that bandwagon.
Depending where they are, right?
Yeah. It depends how things are going. If they're still playing as well, or at least, you know, near that top and playoff-wise, don't be surprised.
And also, one other point about the crew. They seem to have this knack of finding guys that sort of under the radar, then they come up and they perform. And you have to think that it has to be something. Part, obviously, the players themselves taking advantage, but also there's got to be something within this organization that has a pretty good feel for the type of players that may find their way to the big leagues, not just show up in the big leagues, but then perform. And we've seen that a few different ways already this year.
I think that they do a lot more than just what they can do on the field, as far as how many home runs, how many RBIs, how many hits, how many stolen bases, all that. I think they also look for players that work well with others. Mark Cano, who's now with the Detroit Tigers. Yeah. I mean, I've been watching him play, you know, with the Tigers a couple of games here, and looking good, and he's making a Tiger club that a lot of people picked to not do much, being very competitive. So that's just one example. We'll see. I mean, all I got, you know, it's still April.
No, that is. I mean, it is a long season.
And plus, I'm smack dab in the middle of Stanley Cup playoff time. So I can't turn my phone off.
I said to somebody last night, I said, I can't stand the Stanley Cup playoffs. And why? Because they hook me into these overtime games, and it makes me stay up way too late.
I stayed up till last horn last night. That's why I'm sitting here and like, hey, is this show just about over? I got to start catching my nap here.
Real fast, last night, another sports topic. I saw you posted that you're going to be on this show, and somebody asked you what you're going to be talking about, and something about the NFL draft. I was like applauding your response. I loved it. What was your response about the NFL draft?
The NFL draft, you know, am I interested in it? Yeah. Do I go bonkers over it? No, because first of all the people and the players that are going to be, you know, picked, you're hoping they're going to make the teams. Yeah, you know, the first, you know, round picks normally do make the team, because basically the teams don't want to admit they screwed up.
I have found that mock drafts are the equivalent of polls.
Correct. You know my feeling about political polls. I don't care. When they talk about mock drafts, I hit the button. I'm watching something else.
Exactly.
I do not care. I don't care who's going to be the first quarterback picked. I'll be semi-interested in who the Packers pick in the first round. You know, when I hear the name and I hear where they're from.
And the other thing that is so silly is coming up this weekend, the grades will come out.
Coming out with grades before the players even put their feet on the field to perform as professionals.
There was actually a good article I saw yesterday in The Athletic from Jesse Temple, who covers the Wisconsin Badgers. Mm-hmm. He looked back to the 2021 recruiting class, which was at the time the highest rated recruiting class that the Badgers had had. It was like number 16 in the country. That's the only one that's been in the top 20. And he went back and actually looked at that, and in retrospect. And I think we don't see that at all. That's where how you judge a draft is, to look back, hey, 5 years ago, or even last year, we had the results from last year to say, okay, these guys came in, and Green Bay actually did very well last year because based on the production they got. But
I remember when I was working at Wisconsin Rapids, we were doing a high school baseball game, and instead of covering the draft, ESPN's covering. Oh, maybe it's here.
Could be here, yeah.
Yeah, and oh, I go, There's things called newspapers. You'll see who won. Does it make any difference when you know it then? Or they're not playing.
Fantastic stuff. Bob, go take